It's kind of a funny story. Dennis over here, last time we were here, came up to me after we were done, and I was standing right here. And Dennis, it was before we had started, and Dennis comes up and says, "Man, you know, I'm looking forward to you guys being here tonight and everything, but man, I cannot wait to hear you preach." And you guys have been calling me a preacher all night, and this is the second time I've ever spoke in my life. And so I'm not a preacher, and so when Dennis told me that, I was a little shocked, I'll be honest with you. And I said, "Now, what are you talking about, Dennis?" He said, "For the youth revival in February." I had no idea there was a youth revival in February. And he comes up and tells me that I'm preaching at it. And I said, "Well, all right." I said, "I don't know who gave you that idea." He said, "Well, I asked Jonathan. Jonathan said you would love to preach at our youth revival." So I hit Jonathan a couple times for that. But I'm glad to be here. And I'm not a preacher, so and I'm not going to get up here and run around and shout and scream and stuff, so I might actually put you to sleep, but that's okay, just as long as you're paying attention while you're sleeping. The first passage, if you'll open your Bible, we're going to read my message or sermon, whatever you want to call it, is called "What Direction Are You Going?" And this is the one time that I spoke before. I tried to get this together on the fly, and I've kind of revised it a little bit since then. But I think this is a really relatable topic for a lot of us. And a lot of us, you know, and this is youth revival, and I'm pretty youth, I'm 18, and I know exactly what it's like to try to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And so it's not an easy task, and so a lot of times we ask ourselves, where are we going? And I think the only place to look is the Bible. And we can look to a lot of people, and they can give us some good advice, but the only best advice and the true advice we're going to get is from the Bible. Amen. And so if you turn in your Bibles, we're going to read Matthew 17, 13 and 14. And that's going to kind of be the base text, and we'll move around from there. But we're going to try. I don't know how that's going to go. Yeah, I'll just hold on, and if I say something that don't make any sense, just amen, and we'll move along. But if you're with me, say amen if you're there. Amen. All right. Amen. Matthew 17, 13, and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in threat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day that you've given us, God. Thank you for the safe travels we had up here, God. And God, just please be with the rest of the service. We've already had an awesome service so far. And we know that sometimes when we think we have things figured out, you show up and show off and show us what you can do. So God, just pray that you use me, because I'll be honest, I don't know what I'm doing. And I just want you to give me the words to speak and give me the words to say, and let somebody here that needs something that you have to say hear it through me. And please bless the rest of the service and the rest of the revival as we continue on through the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, the broad way that this verse kind of speaks about is the way of the world. And being a young guy, I mean, I've been in the world. I went to high school. I went to public school. A lot of people ask me how I did that and traveled, and I still don't know. But it worked out somehow, and I actually graduated. Yes, we do have school in West Virginia. But Broadway is the way of the world, and I can tell you firsthand that there's a lot of, you know, temptations and trials, and I'm sure most of you guys in here are teenagers. Well, most of you all in here are teenagers or older, so you all have been through all this. I'm not the only one here. And, you know, a lot of times we get into things, and I'm so thankful, like Jonathan talked about with my testimony, that I had a great mother and father that taught me right from wrong. So a lot of times when wrong came my way, I knew to steer clear of it. But that being said, we're all human, and we mess up, and there's going to be temptations come that we, you know, take a part of. Even the Bible says, you know, sin has pleasure for a season. And it's just so sad when that season runs out, and you see what happens. And the narrow way that it talks about is the way of God. And even the Bible says, and there's few that find it. And even us up here that have been speaking and singing and doing whatever, sure, we might, a lot of us Christians look like we've got it figured out and we've got the narrow way found. But there's so much in this book that we don't have a clue about and we're never going to understand, but we just pray that God shows us where He wants us to go. But when we're trying to find somewhere to go, there's a rule. We have to know where the place is. There's like, I guess you could separate this into three parts. There's where the place is, where we're at now, and what direction or path we need to go on, road, whatever. And so, like, example, you guys wanted to come to church tonight, so you knew where Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church was. You knew that you were at your house or at Walmart or with your grandma or whatever you was doing, and you know what road you need to take to get here. And I knew where I was when I left West Virginia. I didn't exactly know what road I needed to go on because there's a lot of them. And it's a good thing that somebody didn't hand me an atlas or anything because we would not be here. Amen. But depending on how much time you have, you can take different roads. But if you're pressed for time, you know, you want to take the most direct route. And that's obvious. I mean, how many of you all left your house, you know, 15 minutes before service started and got here as quick as you could versus leaving 45 minutes to go out of your way and just take a nice scenic drive tonight and come to church? I don't think you did. But since Christ can come at any moment, we better be on the right path right now. And if you look in 2 Peter 3:11 and 12, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. So, I mean, even the Bible talks about, we never know when Christ is going to come. Only He does. And it says, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And I'll be the first one to admit, all the conversation that comes out of my mouth is not holy and is not godly. And that's just human nature. We all mess up and we make mistakes. But I'm so thankful that I serve a forgiving, gracious God tonight who can correct me when I'm on the wrong path. So, like I talked about getting up here today, we used a GPS. And a GPS is, hold on, I've got it looked up here, a global positioning system. And funny story, and I wasn't there for this, and I hope you're recording me, aren't you? I just noticed that. Gosh, that's going to make me nervous the rest of the night. But a GPS, Jonathan one time actually took a guy that we know from West Virginia, his name's Eddie. And they went to Nashville one time to go play some music or hear some music or something of that nature. And Jonathan always uses a GPS. We all use a GPS. How many of you all in here have used GPS? Everybody uses GPS. It's great. It's an awesome thing most of the time. And so Jonathan took it down there, and this guy, Eddie, is the definition of a West Virginia mountain man or whatever. You have this stereotypical mind frame of a West Virginian. This is what this guy is. He lives on top of a mountain, and he eats everything that he kills and stuff like that. He don't have no internet, running water, nothing, I don't think. And God bless him. Anyways, Jonathan took him to Nashville one time and he was using his GPS, and Eddie had never seen a GPS before. And that thing started talking and telling Jonathan where to go. And Eddie thought that was the coolest thing. And one time Jonathan got turned around in downtown there in downtown Nashville. And I'm pretty sure he probably started going the wrong way down a one-way street. He's been known to do that many times. And amen. And Jonathan got turned around and was trying to figure out where to go. And Eddie, just as cool as he could, say, Jonathan, that woman in the box got us here. I think she can get us back. Sometimes we just need to listen to that little voice in the box. Amen. But one of the tools we use, like I said, is a GPS, and it's an amazing piece of technology, really. And it's a mini computer with a function, with one function in mind. It uses satellites to calculate your exact position on the Earth, and when you tell it where you want to go, it calculates the fastest or shortest routes that you can take to get there. And like I said, that story, that was really handy for Jonathan when he did not know where he was going. And it happens to a lot of us. We don't know where we're going. And sometimes in life, we get bogged down, and we don't know where we're going, and we face trials and different things. But I'm thankful that when it comes to our spiritual journey, we've got a GPS designed by God. And the only place we can turn to is the Bible. And we use this GPS to get on the right path. And once we stay on the right track, we need to know how to stay on the right track. And the only way we can do that is to keep reading the Bible, Dennis. Amen. Only way to keep learning and gleaning and just hoping that the Spirit grows our faith. And the Bible keeps us on the straight and narrow. One thing you will notice, if you all have used GPS before, is once you punch in the address, it doesn't drive you there by itself. And I really wish it did. That would be super awesome. And when somebody invents one of those, I will buy it. But however, it does give you the direction that you should go. But you have to make the choice of following it or ignoring the instructions. And it makes that stupid noise whenever you go the wrong way and it tells you it's trying to recalculate or figure out where you're going. And that just annoys me. But most of the people live this way. And it's sad to say that when it comes to our Christian walk, how many times do we ignore the directions that we have been given? And when we have the Holy Spirit convicting us and telling us to get back on the right path, and we just brush it off and just don't even think about what we're supposed to be doing. But as long as you stay on the route you suggested, you'll be fine. If you get on the wrong road or make an unexpected turn, the GPS will implore you to turn around and recalculate another course to get back on your route as soon as possible. And there are many voices, I would think, when I would think about the spiritual walk, you know, like I said, when we have the GPS telling us to turn around and go a different way, it's just this annoying voice coming from that box. And but when our Christian walk, when it's so much different, I think we've got so many saints and elders that can see our walk. Like Dennis said, the best way to show somebody something in your Christian life is your actions and how you're acting. If somebody can tell that you're acting the wrong way, a good Christian will go to them and say, you know, listen, I've been praying for you, and I can see that, you know, something's wrong. You're not living right. You're not acting right. I've been praying for you. And so I would consider the church to be a voice of the GPS unit, of God's plan of salvation, if you will, the Christian GPS. And if you get off that course, it'll implore you to get back on the course. And I'm hoping, I know back at home, if somebody saw me living wrong at my home church, and I'll tell you, I live wrong every day. We all do, amen? And I love it when someone tells me what I'm doing wrong. And that's why I love going into a church like Dennis is here, where the Bible's taught, and I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow. And that's what I love, because if without that voice, how are you going to learn anything? How are you going to know you're on the wrong track? And this is what we need. And Christians, in general, just for each other, we need to be each other's voices and hold each other accountable for these things. Wow. But one thing, like we already mentioned, the GPS can't make you change the course, but it's just going to give you the right advice, and it's going to lead you to the right one. And so I'm praying that every one of you, young people, adults, whatever, in here tonight can see that and can you know, have faith in your God and Savior to go to your friends and just say, listen, man, hey, I've been praying for you. I can see something's wrong. Man, I've been praying for you. But if you're on a course and it's the right one, why would you want to get off the right pathway? Why would you ignore the instructions? And the only answer I have for that is sin. And like I said earlier, there's so many temptations, and it's just, the world makes it really easy to sin. And it gets easier and easier and easier, and I find myself slipping into certain things every day. And sometimes, in my human nature, I ignore the GPS telling me to get back on the right path. But like I said earlier, man, I'm so thankful that I have a God that saved me when I was at my darkest and when I was at my lowest. And he saw me, just a worthless sinner. And like Dennis said, he's going to save to the uttermost. Amen. But God has a direction for your journey. Many of us would rather sit in life's driver's seat than the passenger seat. And you see those bumper stickers about, you know, God's your co-pilot or whatever. And, buddy, let me tell you, if you've got God as your co-pilot, then you're doing something wrong. He needs to be driving. And I would be so scared to live my life with God as my co-pilot and not as my driver. Because let me tell you, if it wasn't for God leading my way, man, I don't know what I would do. And I just don't know where I would be in my life. And I think one of the reasons maybe we just want more control or something. We want to be in control of things, and we, like I said, we think we've got it all figured out. And I know this especially because a lot of people have, you know, the stubborn teenager. Every teenager is so stubborn and doesn't listen to anything. And I'm there. And, you know, we trust ourselves more than we trust friends or elders or family who've been through the same things. And I'll be honest, I don't know why we don't listen. And the main person we should be listening to is God. And whenever we get off path, like that, like I said earlier, we just need to be listening to Him because His way is always the right way. And you know, another thing, God doesn't want our relationship with Him to be like a power struggle. You know, if you're having conflict with God, there's no reason for that because He's right. And He's just going to humble you till you figure out that you're wrong. And sometimes I think it takes a little bit longer because I think He wants you to learn a bigger lesson. And I'm so thankful that He does that and will teach us. Jesus invited us to follow Him. And if you look in Matthew 16:24, he says, "Then Jesus said unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." And there's so many verses about following the Lord here. Where is it at? I lost it here. In Mark. Oh. See, I knew this would happen. Technology got the best of me. Mark chapter 2, verse. Well, here's one. Mark chapter, and this wasn't even the one I was looking for. Verse 14. "And he passed by and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus," I can't say that name, "sitting at the receipt of the custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." And how easy that was for him. But, you know, Jesus came to lead us, not to people have this big, this concept in their mind that God's just this ruler sitting up on His throne waiting to zap us every time we do wrong or whatever. But here's the verse I was looking for. In verse Mark chapter 2, verse 17, "When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And let me tell you tonight, we're all sick. And we're disgusting. And we look at ourselves, and we might think we're okay, but in God's eyes, we're just sinners. And I'm so thankful, like Jonathan might have said earlier, you know, the only difference in a sinner and a saved person is that I'm forgiven. And I'm so thankful that I've been forgiven tonight. If we follow Jesus, it'll make us leaders. And I think, like we talked about, our actions show. And I know it shows especially in school. And I know a lot of you guys are still in high school or middle school, elementary school, whatever. But you don't have to be 50, 60, 70, whatever, how many years old to be a leader. You can be a leader to anyone. And I'll tell you, I've learned more from younger people and just seeing, maybe not like little young people that can't talk yet, but people who I can see them living in Christ. And it challenges me. I'm thinking, wow, this person's 12 years old. I'm 6 years older than them. And they look closer to God than I am. And it kind of disappoints me because I'm just upset at myself. Thinking, like the brother said earlier, in just little ways we can improve our Christian walk, like reading our Bible. We've got a Bible, and the majority of us, I'm pretty sure, have probably 30 Bibles laying all over your house, because I know I do. Just got Bibles everywhere. And how often do we pick them up and read them? I mean, even for something just a small amount, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, whatever. Read a couple chapters, a couple books, all the Gospels, whatever you want to do. But trusting in His direction and not our own gives us peace and assurance that we can lead others. And it's so, how can you be a leader if you don't know what you're talking about? And it's sad to see how many churches have leaders who don't know that much. And I'm not trying to, you know, talk about anybody because I know Dennis, he's strong. And Dennis, he loves to follow the Lord. And I think that's an amazing thing. And especially when the Lord tells him to get me to preach, I think that's something. God works in mysterious ways, amen. But you need to get comfortable in His Word, and it'll make us more confident spiritual leaders at home, school, or just out in your community. I mean, just little things. One time, and this happened to me the other week, and I didn't think about it till just now. I'm in college now, and I was sitting at lunch, and I just got my sub from Subway, and I was sitting there, and before I ate it, I said a little prayer over it. And just like I always try to remember to pray over my food and give God thanks. But while I was eating, right after I started eating there, somebody walked over to me and said, "Thank you." And I didn't know what for. And I asked them, you know, well, I was like, "Appreciate it." I was like, you know, "What did I do?" And they said, "You're saying your grace over your food." And it's just, I'm not saying that I always do, because I'm human and I forget, but it's so bad how many times we see people forgetting just little things like that. And it hurts me because I know I do it too. And that's just one thing we've all got to get closer to God on, everything, on every level. And we can't get close enough to Him. And if we just follow His GPS He's given us, we're going to learn more and more. And God also knows how easy it is to become complacent, lose our focus on His Word. And we just get stuck in our little routine, and we come to church on Sunday morning, we put on our good-looking clothes, and we come and we sit in the pews, and we play church, but come Monday morning, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And Tuesday and Wednesday. Right. And Wednesday night, you might come to church, but what were you doing before that? And it's just sad, and once again, I'm not just trying to, you know, sit up here and act like I'm all high and mighty and stuff, because first off, I'm not a preacher, and second of all, I'm not living as close to God as I could, and we can all get closer.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful, like I've said many times, that I serve a forgiving God. But even though God knows how easy it is for us to get in our routines, He's forgiving, like I said. He gives us opportunities to get closer to Him. And if we would just, I don't know, maybe listen when we were in church half the time, we'd probably learn a lot more than we do just sitting around and sitting on the pews and taking up space and breathing up all the air in here for everybody else who wants to be here. And, you know, just little things like devotions and scripture study time, whatever you want to do, that's opportunities for you to get closer to God and follow His roadmap that He's given you. And it's, you know, you're investing time right now if you're listening. And I would think, not because of me, but because of the message. And definitely you're not learning anything from me. But one thing, you know, take every chance you get to study. Not just now, home, school. And it's, you know, something little. Just start out small. And I know a lot of people try to get started and they just, okay, well, I'm going to start reading my Bible more. And they jump into like a really complex book of the Bible, and that's probably not a good thing. And you should seek some instruction and get some little devotionals and listen to certain people can tell you the right things to start with. But just starting slow and reading your Bible just a few minutes a day, and I mean, you can look back here at like Psalms, and I mean, how hard would it be for you to read, let's see, like Psalm 78 here. Just a few verses. Psalm 79 is 13 verses. Psalm 81 is 16 verses. Psalms 82 is 8 verses. It wouldn't take you long at all to sit there and get closer to God and praise Him, because that's what Psalms is about, giving praise. And that's what we're here doing right now anyways, I would think. But even though some of the books are kind of hard to understand, and I know this from firsthand, anytime you go reading the Bible and you get to all those so-and-so begat so-and-so, and this person begat this person, and this, and they try to throw all those big fancy names in there, and I'm from West Virginia. I graduated, but I didn't learn a thing, and I don't know how to say those names. But, you know, a lot of times, even though I don't understand what it's saying, I'll say a prayer before I'm reading, and I just say, "God, I don't know what I'm about to get into, don't know what I'm going to read, just open my eyes, and reveal something to me that I might not have seen." And a lot of times, you know, you'll finish your reading and you'll say, you know what? You know, that touched me. Even though you might have read it beforehand without praying, and you might not have had a clue what you was reading. And you'll really be surprised at what you're going to glean from His Word. And if you just listen to that roadmap He's given you. And, you know, we're on a long trip in life, if you compare it to the road. And it would be impossible to do it on your own. And it amazes me how people can go their whole lives and never know Christ. And that's why I love what we do. And it's just amazing to see. You know, a lot of times you do see younger people getting saved. But what really touches me a lot, you know, just sometimes the most, is when that older person comes and gets saved. And they realize that, you know, I thought I was living right my whole life. And I, you know, I was living by what the world thought was right. You know, doing good things and this and that. But I didn't have a relationship with Christ. And, you know, that's why we came tonight, is to tell you about Christ. And I'm really nervous up here because, like I said, I'm not a speaker, and we've got all kinds of other preachers and stuff in here. But it's not about us. And it's not about how good you look or how bad or good we sang or whatever, or how good of a speaker you are. It's about your relationship with Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to get you to heaven. Because I can tell you what, I've known a lot of good people who were great people and did a lot of good things, but they're either on their way or they're sitting in devil's hell right now. And they did not know Christ. And that's why, as a Christian, God gives us all duties and certain things to do. And one of those, the main thing probably, is to share His Word with others. We're to be fishers of men. And actually, my sermon, I'm not going to get it too much into it because that's the one for next night, or tomorrow night, so I don't want to shorten that one too much. Don't y'all love that? Shorten a sermon. Ooh, God bless them. But, you know, in this life, we just need to sit back and let God grow our faith. Let our knowledge grow in Him. And you might think that you can get there on your own to the end of this journey, at the end of this road, but you're going to be wrong. And if you don't know Christ, you're soon going to find out that you're wrong. And you would waste a lot of time and money or whatever trying to get to heaven on your own. Because in the end, what's it going to matter? You're not going to get there anyways. And, you know, you're going to take a lot of bad routes. And there's a lot of things that aren't intended for us. And I think God is going to teach us if we would just follow His Word and learn from Him. And I'll share a little bit about me. Jonathan said I would. So I guess I kind of have to now. But I was adopted at a young age, and I was a little baby, and I'm actually from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, if anybody knows where that is. And that's where I'm from, and I was adopted by my mother and father, and it's a really, really long story, so I know y'all are wanting to get out of here and go to Applebee's or whatever, so I won't keep you too long. My birth mother actually knew my aunt, and I call her my aunt, but she's my second cousin or whatever. That's how we do things down in West Virginia. That one, I kind of threw myself under the bus there. God, Dennis ain't gonna have me back after this. All right, you can shut my mic off whenever you want. And anyways, my birth mother started going to church at my uncle's church. He's a pastor in Wilkes-Barre. And I have an older sister who's 2 years older than me. And they had noticed that my mom had been struggling and trying to take care of two kids now, because my birth dad just kind of bailed after everything was said and done. And she didn't have anything. And so I had actually started staying with Donna and Marty, my uncle and my aunt, and I'd started staying with them, and I was living with them for a while. And they had been praying for a son, because they had an older son and they had two girls, and they wanted one more son. And they, you know, thought, well, you know, yeah, this is God's way of sending us a child. This is amazing. God really works. And one night I was staying with them, and the phone rang, and it was my now mom. And that's actually my aunt's cousin. So it's going to be really confusing, but just bear with me and we'll get through it. Just shake your heads. It's all good. And but got a phone call, and she said, you know, we've been trying for years to have a son and just to have a child. And God just never sent him to us. And my mother had a lot of miscarriages and just couldn't have a child. And I had been praying. And, you know, that's like Jonathan mentioned, I messed up all the words to that song we wrote. And so it probably didn't make a lot of sense. But the second verse talks about that. 500 miles away, all they could do was pray through the hurt and the pain. And that's exactly how far my parents were from me. And they were just praying for a son. And God just, you know, wasn't letting that happen until now. And then the song says, 500, or after trying for years and crying many tears, it seemed as if a child would never be. But that's not what love had in mind. And if you look through your Bible and read this roadmap, it'll teach you that God is love. And so when that song talks about love, it's also talking about God's love for us and his will, but it's talking about him. And that's not what he had in mind. It wasn't for my parents to never have a child, but just not yet. And how many times in our life do we ask God for something? God, give me this. God, I'd love to have this. I want this. I want this. And God says, no. And a lot of times, it doesn't mean no, but it just means not yet. And I'm so thankful that when God's timing is right, it's going to happen. And when God wants something to happen, it's not going to take long. And so that night when my aunt got the call, past year she sent me this little scrapbook she had made of all the pictures, and I never knew she had did this, but took a bunch of pictures of me before my parents adopted me and when I was living with them. And she said it just hit her like a ton of bricks. And she said, this is not my son. It's yours. And so all the papers got finalized and everything, and I was down there, and I'm so thankful that either person I would have ended up with, I would have been taught right from wrong. And I'm so thankful that God put me in that position to start with. But I'm so thankful that he put me where he did, because if it wasn't for that, I mean, who knows the opportunities I would have missed out on. And God saw all this. And it's so amazing to think that he had all this figured out 18 years ago, before I was even born, before any of us were born. He knew where I was going to be right now, speaking or preaching or whatever you want to call it, here at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. And if it wasn't for my parents adopting me, I would not be here today. And how many people in here tonight can raise your hands and say, if it wasn't for one little thing that God changed in your life, you wouldn't be here today? And I think first off, it's probably your salvation. Because I'm trusting in here that everybody's saved, but in a crowd this size, I almost guarantee you there's at least one lost person. And, like I was talking about, and I'll give another testimony here from when I was being a teenager, something that may be more relatable to most people in here. I was probably 13 or 14, and I'd been playing with Jonathan now since I was 12, so I've been playing, you know, a year and a half, 2 years with Jonathan. And for the longest time, I thought that like being a high school guy, I thought I had it figured out. And I was hot stuff, and I thought I knew where I was going to school, what I was going to do. And I'll be honest with you, even though I was from West Virginia, I had some pretty good grades. And I am going to brag on myself a little bit. I was a good student in high school. I was a great student. And I graduated with a full ride scholarship to the college I'm going to, and had a 3.8 GPA, and traveled full time in the ministry. And I think that was just God, because heaven knows I'm not that smart. But like I said, Dennis, I thought I had it all figured out. And I was actually going to be an eye doctor. And I'd wanted to be an eye doctor for the longest time. And the first time I was here, I might have even said that that was what I was planning on doing. I'm not sure. To do that, I don't know how many of y'all have been through grad school or looking at it. It's not easy. And it takes about like 9 years or something like that. So it's just nuts. I would have had to completely step away from music for almost 9 years. And, that seems like something crazy, like, well, God's put me in this great position right now to minister and do his work, and then he's just going to take me out of it. That sounds kind of weird. And it does. But in my mind, you know, I told God, I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, then you're going to make a way, and it's going to be okay. And, you know, I was praying for God's will, and that's what we should all be doing today. And, instead of trying to drive ourselves to our destination, we just need to let God drive. And so, like I said, I thought I had it all figured out, though, and I thought that was what God wanted me to do. Well, I guess it would be almost a year, well, probably about a year ago now. I was about to graduate high school, and, you know, I really needed to start looking. Okay, well, you know, well, I need to start lining colleges up and figuring out where I'm going to go. And I was applying to some different colleges and looking at things and looking at different programs, and I would be signing up for certain, you know, biology classes that you have to take to get a, like a pre-medicine degree, and just something felt really weird every time I applied for something. I was like, you know, this, something's not right. And then I finally got to the end part of the application where it, you know, you declare your major, and I was going to put pre-professional biology, and I had my fingers on this very keyboard trying to type that out, and I mean, it was like my fingers just locked up, like I couldn't even type it, and I was like, you know. At first, in my mind, because I try to figure everything out myself, is, man, maybe I'm getting sick. Maybe I'm having hand problems or something. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, you know, okay, maybe it's God. And that was a little bit easier than me just suddenly having hand problems. And see how dumb we are? And, the first thing I could do was think, you know, God, you know, you have told me this was going to be okay. You've showed me, and I've felt peace about going to grad school and going, you know, getting my optometry degree and everything. And why would you change it now? And that's just where I wasn't strong in my Christian walk, because being a Christian, we don't have a plan. We go by God's plan, and that's going to change all the time. And when God says go, you go. And that was what I didn't want to do. And I'm so thankful that I ran from him, even though I thought optometry was the right thing to do. I was really running from his will, because he's got me where he wants me right now. And I'm so thankful that God, you know, didn't let me go down that road, because I would have just, man, messed my life up. And even though, sure, I would have been, you know, a doctor eventually, and I would have been making money or whatever, you know, we value in this life. What would it gain? What would it profit to have all the money and, you know, die, you can't take it with you. All the houses and the cars or whatever you want, it's not going with you. And the only thing that you can take with you is your soul and your salvation. Right. And as long as you have that, you might not have another thing in the world. But in reality, you've got everything. Got everything. And, you know, God showed me, after running for 4 years from him, that where I needed to be was right here. And I'm so thankful, like I said, that he did. And even though, like Dennis has been saying, that I'm up here preaching, or anybody else saying I'm preaching, I'm not preaching, I'm not speaking, I'm just sharing something that God's laid on my heart. And I'm not a preacher. I don't really consider myself a speaker. And one thing I know that for sure, because I just took a speech class in college, and they told you never start out a speech with an apology. And that's exactly what I did when I started this thing. I said, I'm sorry. But, you know, our path on the straight and narrow, even though we might not know what it is, it's already charted out for us. And it's right here. Right here. And we just have to listen to it. God's told us how to get there, and he's constantly helping us recalculate our direction when we get off course. And I'm so thankful that when I was way off course, about to go to college for 9 years of my life and completely waste it, that he got me back on course, and he redirected me. He said recalculating, 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 and every time I was filling out a college application, he finally locked up my fingers, and I've never had God speak so clear to me like that. Was like, no, you're not doing that. And I'm so thankful that he finally did that, or I probably would have messed my life up. But his church and his Bible are the tools he uses to get us and keep us on the right track. And I'm so thankful that I have a good church at home, and they're always praying for me, and I've got a great mother and a father who are always praying for me, and I feel bad. We've been crazy busy, and I haven't been home had time to be home a lot between we get back on early Monday mornings. I go into class, I come home, and I'm just worn out, so I go to bed, and then I've got class every other day. My parents work, so I don't get to see them a lot. But one thing I know with them is that they're always praying for me. And even though it makes them sad that they don't get to see their son as much as they like to, they don't complain because they know I'm doing what God has me to do. And they know it's the right thing. And if they were to try to step in, God would convict them real fast because they've tried before. And they've told me that many times. They've wanted me to be home more, but there's nothing they can do about it because this is what God said do. And I did it. And I've been doing it now for 8 years. Six years. Can't add either. Amen. But just a closing thought, because I'm done for the night. But one last thought I want to leave you guys with, and this is a youth revival, but I mean, it's great that there's young people here and kids here, but this is a revival for everybody. And I mean, I don't see the point of just having a select group of, you know, welcome to Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, middle-aged revival, 50 to 60 years old, come, all welcome. That doesn't make sense. I don't think Dennis would do that, I don't know. But closing thought, what path are you on? What path are you on right now? And nothing else I can say other than you need to get on the right one if you're not. And I'm praying that you'll make that decision now, because the rest of this revival, you're going to enjoy it a lot better if you get on that right path. And more than just this revival, you're going to enjoy the rest of your life a whole lot better. And I'm so thankful that when we get off course, like I did with school, God redirects us. And I tell people a lot, doing what I do now, what God has shown me that I'm really supposed to do, is going to help a lot more people than any pair of glasses I'm ever going to give somebody as an eye doctor. So I'm not saying that you need to question God about His will for your life, but you need to figure it out. And, you know, what God has set for you is going to happen. And just let it happen. Don't try to fight it like I did, because it's a lot more trouble than it's worth. You're fighting a really big God, and there's no way you're going to beat Him. And it's just a lot easier to listen. So what path are you on? And so I'm going to get the guys to come back up, and we're going to sing a song of invitation, if that's okay. And we already kind of had a little bit of an altar service here a little bit ago, but I think the perfect song, and I mean, I can just do it myself if you want or whatever. I think the perfect song for a revival is I Surrender All. And, I've still got this mic on. But, you know, you can't do it on your own. And like I said, you're just going to be running from a big God, and He's going to find you. But it's just easier to surrender your life to Him.